Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. Continuing my talks on the vocation of motherhood. Remember that a vocation is a calling, and motherhood is a solemn and holy calling, a job that you can do with God and for God and to the glory of God, as Debbie Ratou does. I told a little bit about her yesterday. I think I've mentioned her before. She and her husband, I believe, had 4 children. They adopted 16 more, and 10 of those children were seriously handicapped. Why do they do it? Because of the love of God. And they actually take in the children of couples, perfectly normal children, and the couples are just so exhausted with trying to take care of 2 or 3 children that they need respite. And so they take their children over to Debbie Ratou, and she takes care of them for a weekend or whatever length of time they need. I had a letter from a mother who is so grateful for her 2 children that she says, "I don't need breaks from my children. If somebody wants to do me a favor, they don't need to come and take care of my children so that I can go out, but I would love to have them come and dust my knickknacks. Yes, I would certainly be delighted. My knickknacks get neglected. Are they willing to bring a nutritious meal? Yes. But please don't suggest that I need to leave my children in order to breathe. I breathe more easily when my husband and my children are nearby. I want my children not just to survive, but to thrive. God has given 2 people this task, and it will not get done as it should be done by anybody else." Remember that. God has given you a job to do if you're a mother or a father, which cannot possibly be done as well by anyone else. No one else can love your children as you love them. We've been talking about the spiritual strength necessary for mothering, the sense of the presence of God. Now, there is a strong warning needed here. To love your children does not mean to own them as your private property. They are gifts lent to you for a time. That child, that boy or girl, is an individual before God, an individual for whom you are responsible. It's very easy for sins of pride and covetousness to creep in. And before we can be Christ's disciple, we must reverse our attitude. We must learn to hate. Yes, that's what I said, learn to hate. But that's what the Bible says. There is such a thing as false love, and there is true love, and it's true love that's commanded. Jesus said we are to love one another as He has loved us. And how is that? How did Christ love us? Through sacrifice. False love is egoism, rooted in pride, and that is the primal sin. Pride was the original sin in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Adam and Eve declared themselves independent of God. We are less ready to realize that those sins in which there is true love of another human being, but in which nonetheless we flout the will of God, we are making ourselves the arbiters of good and evil. In other words, we are choosing what we think is good and evil, as opposed to what God's Word clearly tells us. In these people, too, there is the same essential sin, for it is still the human judgment which is deified, the divine which is denied. We're talking about false love now versus true. Sometimes this problem presents itself in terms of an unbearable tension between the claims of a true human love and obedience to God. All of our instincts and feelings, all of our judgment and deep desire for another's good will rise up and cry out, "I cannot do this. I cannot cause all this suffering and all this harm for the sake of a principle." And then you have to try to remember that, in fact, we don't know with any certainty what, on a long view, is for another's good. Think about that one. We're so sure that we know what will make us happy, or we know what will make our children happy. But in the long run, is it really for their good? Our good and our happiness are not always synonymous, are they? We cannot foresee the consequences of our actions, and we just do not understand the depths of the problem of suffering. And the only thing we can do, if we want to be wise, is to trust in the judgments of God. You remember the words of Job, "Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him." There may be times when you have to say, "Even though he slays my friend, my lover, my country, my child, yet will I trust him and continue to obey him." Are you one of those parents who finds it practically impossible to spank your child because you think you love him so much? And the Bible says that the father who fails to discipline his son hates him. Parents are responsible to bring their children up in the nurture, the admonition, and the discipline of the Lord. And that takes inflicting a measured amount of pain in the form of a spanking, administered by a parent who is in control of himself, who speaks in a calm and kind tone of voice, but who knows that this is the language that the 2-year-old understands. No use reasoning with them. Give them a spanking. But the false love is not only expressed in a self-willed choice of evil in defiance of the law of God. Detachment is an old word that many of the old writers of several centuries ago used. It means something much more than avoidance of evil that defies the law of God. There's another kind of a choice, not of evil as against good, but we choose something which looks to us to be good in itself as against what is God's will for us at any given moment. You may say there's nothing wrong in this action, or this interest, or this possession, or this form of recreation. In itself, nothing wrong, and you may be right. But it may not be God's will for you. It may not be part of your particular calling or vocation. And then if you insist on clinging to it, you are still committing the primal sin of pride and egotism. You are making yourself the judge of what is right for you, clinging to something in defiance of God. And that's what Eve did, wasn't it? She was the mother of the race, but not a good example. You are not the master of your children. They are to be loved in themselves. You can't live the life of God without learning to love the world, but you can't love the world without truly learning to love God above all else. And I'm speaking of loving the world in the sense that John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave. Now remember, there is a very clear-cut distinction between masculinity and femininity. It is the greatest of all natural differentiations. Man was created to be the builder and the legislator. Woman, the conserver, the consoler, the responder. Man thinks very often more reasonably than women. Women often have intuition that men lack. Now, these are not hard and fast divisions, of course. But I love what the Bible says, that Mary kept all these things, that her motherhood involved, what God had given her in this unspeakable gift. She kept them and pondered them in her heart. An insistence on equality obliterates the distinction between men and women, and it ends by destroying the integrity of both. We are meant to be complementary, subordinate to our husbands. Does that word irritate you, depress you? You're sadly mistaken. We will not achieve freedom and dignity as women by trying to behave like a man. May God give you the strength and the grace and the wisdom to exemplify for your children what true femininity means. And your boys need to see that example every bit as much as your girls. The vocation of womanhood, a holy calling.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.